Let's go right now to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. In chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, we see the person and the power of Jesus Christ. The program is going to start and be laid out for us in outline form in chapter 1, and we'll dig into that. I have a walk through the book of Revelation. Now, as we record this audibly, it's not going to be so easy for you to see the walk through the book of Revelation. I also have a DVD, a video of my study through the book of Revelation. I refer you to that particular video, which I stand there on the Mount of Olives and walk through the book of Revelation. May I just give it to you very quickly? Let me tell you how this book unfolds. The book of Revelation presents Jesus Christ in three areas: his person, his power, and his program. In chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, we see Jesus Christ in his person and his power. In chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, we see Jesus Christ writing a letter to seven churches. Seven churches that were alive when John wrote the book in 95 AD, seven churches that have been alive throughout church history, and seven churches that are alive today. Now we'll come back and explain some of this as we study through the book of Revelation. In chapter 4, we see the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ shouts, the archangel shouts, the trumpet of God sounds, and we're caught up to be with him in the air. In chapter 5, a great choir of angels singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Chapter 5, verse 12 to be exact. In chapter 6, the beginning of three sets of seven judgments. There are seven sealed judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial judgments. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the seven sealed judgments will take place. Also in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there'll be two witnesses that'll preach, and 144,000 male virgin Jews will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At the end of these first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, these two witnesses will be killed. They'll lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, at which time they will be miraculously raised from the dead, and they will enter the heavenlies. Also at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there'll be a battle in the heavenlies between the angel Michael, commander-in-chief of the good angels in the heavenlies, and Satan and his evil angels. At that point, Satan and his evil angels will be thrown out of heaven, never to enter heaven again. They'll be cast upon the earth, and they will intensify their persecution with an endeavor to try to destroy the entire Jewish people across the earth. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the seven trumpet judgments take place and the seven vial judgments take place, culminating with the kings coming out of the east to join the Antichrist to fight the battle of Armageddon. At that point, you and I, who will be in the heavenlies, having been raptured up 7 years before this next event, the second coming of Christ, we will get on white horses along with Jesus Christ, and we will come back with him back to the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem. At that point, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. You and I will rule and reign with Jesus Christ during that same 1,000-year period of time. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a season, and then he'll be captured again by God and thrown into the lake of fire. Also at the end of this 1,000-year millennial kingdom, there will be the great white throne judgment, at which time Jesus Christ will be the judge. He will sentence those who have rejected him into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And after that, eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And chronologically, that is how the book of Revelation unfolds. Now, we're going to go back, and we're going to study the entire book of Revelation, and we'll come to the understanding of how all of that has taken place, or will take place, in the future. Now, let's go back to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Remember, I told you, it presents the person and the power of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, starting with verse 12, we see the person of Jesus Christ. And truly, this is the only portrait that we have. It's a portrait of Jesus Christ in word so that we can understand to some extent how he would have looked at his resurrection and in his glorified body. I must remind you, as we go through the book of Revelation, we have a 5-hour study here. I'm giving you the overall big picture. We're not going to be able to go into all the details. You're studying the layman's track of the book of Revelation. If you would like to do the advanced program, our master's program, you'll be able to do that as well, and we'll go deeper into all aspects of the book of Revelation. But this is the overall big picture and the main points as we go through these 22 chapters. The person of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 12. John says, "And I turned to see the voice of him that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks." By the way, there's an example of apocalyptic literature. Go to verse 16 just for a moment. "And he had in his right hand 7 stars." So we see the golden candlesticks and we see the stars. Let me give you the example of how you interpret apocalyptic literature. There we see the candlesticks and the stars. Now go down to verse 20. "The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks." The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. We'll look at those 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3. They were churches that were actually alive in the day of John the Apostle, the writer of the book of Revelation. In fact, he was the pastor at the church at Ephesus and most likely was a circuit-riding preacher and had a great ministry among the other 6 churches as well. But this is simply an example of apocalyptic literature. When he turned, he saw the candlesticks representing those 7 churches. And of course, the angels which he had in his hand will be those who minister to these 7 churches. Well, more on that as we get to chapters 2 and 3. Look at verse 13, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. "And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle." And so we see Jesus Christ standing there. This is what John is able to see, and now he's communicating to us what he perceived Jesus Christ to look like. Verse 14, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow." Let me talk about that just a moment. White hair, as white as snow. This depicts actually the purity of Jesus Christ and the longevity of Jesus Christ. There's much debate as to whether Jesus Christ had long hair or short hair. That debate's going to continue, and in fact, if I was to ask you, I would imagine those listening to this might be divided on whether he had long hair or short hair. Doesn't say how long or short it was. It says it was white as snow. White in the Word of God depicting purity. "Though your sins be of scarlet, they shall be white as snow." And then the gray head or the white head depicting longevity. Jesus Christ from eternity past through eternity future. He never had a beginning. He will never have an ending. He has always been. He always will be. The white-haired one standing there among the 7 churches, the person of Jesus Christ in a resurrected, glorified body. Now look again at verse 14. "And his eyes were as a flame of fire." That depicts the idea that he has X-ray vision. If you were able to go into a deep word study here, you would come to the conclusion that he sees all. And as you go through the Word of God, the book of Genesis, the book of Job, the book of Psalms, the book of Hebrews, and other passages in Scripture, you become aware of the fact that the eyes of Christ are upon us at all times. We cannot hide from the view of Jesus Christ. He's looking and watching every single thing that we do. And of course, that's to some extent quite purifying when you realize his eyes are upon our every activity.